I'm Jen Gulbeck, sitting in for Kodjo. The region's transportation board voted last week to study the idea of a new bridge over the Potomac River linking Maryland and Northern Virginia. Joining us to explore that highly divisive proposal and the challenge of easing the region's gridlock is Stuart Schwartz, the executive director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. Stuart, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
And Bob Buchanan. He leads Buchanan Partners, a real estate development firm. He also chairs the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation and is president of the 2030 Group. Bob, it's good to have you.
Thank you, Jen.
You can also join in the conversation. Would you like to see a new bridge built over the Potomac River? Tell us why or why not at 1-800-433-8850. You can send us an email to kodjo@wamu.org or send a tweet to @KodjoShow. The controversy surrounding this is so strong that we already have a call that we'll take a little bit later, but people clearly have stuff to say about this. So, Stuart, we're going to start with you. During Wednesday's meeting of the National Capital Region Transportation Planning Board, the bridge was the only issue out of the many proposals on the table that was debated. That gives you an idea of just how controversial the project is. And for the most part, Maryland's public officials oppose the idea, while Virginia's leaders support it. You and your organization come down firmly on the opposition side. Explain for us why.
Well, first of all, at the Transportation Planning Board, there was a lot of concern expressed by Virginians as well, including representatives of Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria. But they supported going forward with the study. But they are very concerned about what it means for land use and transportation in the region and think that we have much more important priorities, including metro, for our region. We oppose it because we think it'll make things worse, not better. It will spark new development in the ag reserve and other outer areas and add traffic without reducing it, and certainly not reducing it at the American Legion Bridge. There have already been two or three studies that have shown that there's a very small percentage of commuters making what they call the U-shaped commute, and that the biggest need and the demand is at the American Legion Bridge, where people are trying to get across that bridge as part of a radial commute or a commute into D.C., a commute across to Tyson's Corner, that sort of thing.
I have to say that I don't commute across that bridge, but I fly a couple times a week. And whenever I land at like 4 p.m. at Dulles and have to drive home to Silver Spring, I just dread that part of my commute.
That's right.
Yeah, there's definitely a problem there. So, Bob, the Montgomery County Council unanimously passed a resolution to oppose another study of a new bridge. And unlike your elected representatives on the council, you would like to see the bridge built. Why do you think a new crossing over the Potomac River would be a good thing for Maryland and for the region at large?
Well, lots of reasons. First of all, there have been studies showing that significant traffic would use that new crossing. And I do think it's a matter of economic development and quality of life. I'm not concerned about sprawl happening because I think, for one, most of our population is looking towards urban centers for the growth of the working areas and the workforce wants to be in, not out. And I think the road can be designed to, one, avoid the reserve and, two, have very limited access. So I'm not worried about the negative impact. I'm thinking about the positive impact of being proactive so our region can be competitive.
Is it necessary to have the support of county officials for the bridge to become a reality?
Go ahead.
Ultimately, yes. The TPB and the COG officials will vote. But I think, and speaking on behalf of the 2030 group, as regionalism becomes more and more important on our quality of life and our growth and our prosperity, economic prosperity, I think the private sector is beginning to be more concern on the lack of accountability on Metro, for instance, and the lack of a real discussion on how this region needs to be better connected. And I think that study would lead to that.
Stuart.
I think Bob's being unfair to our regional elected officials. He's spent a lot of time, as I have, with the Council of Governments, Transportation Planning Board, Metro, and so forth. And in 2010, the region worked through a lot of these issues and developed their region forward plan, their region forward vision for the region. And they came down very strongly on the side of investing in Metro and transit-oriented communities, walkable transit-oriented communities. The head of Fairfax, Chairman Bulova, has said transit-oriented development is our future, as have all these other leaders. At the same time, as Bob referenced, people are moving back into the city. They're also looking for suburban places that are more urban and walkable. And that's why Marriott's moving to Bethesda, Nestle's moving from the West Coast to Roslyn, and so many people are bidding up prices near metro stations because that's where they want to be. That's where we should be investing.
Speaking of this, let's take a call from Roger Berliner, president of the Montgomery County Council. Roger, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning or good afternoon to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Our county council, as you observed, unanimously opposes further study of a bridge that has been studied and studied to death. I have characterized this bridge as a zombie bridge. It simply will not die. It's a distraction. We need to get past this. It doesn't promote regionalism. Maryland is against this. A majority of the District of Columbia is against this. The only people that are almost unanimously for this is Virginia, because that's who it would benefit. It does not benefit Maryland. It does not benefit Montgomery County. It does not address congestion. We do have serious congestion problems, as you observe every time you fly over the American Legion Bridge, almost any time of the day. We need to fix what is broken, not contribute more greenhouse gas emissions, more sprawl, more environmental degradation, and threaten our agricultural reserve.
Well, let me have Bob Buchanan comment on that.
Well, good afternoon, Roger. We have respectfully agreed to disagree, but in a recent poll taken by a very credible pollster, 68% of the Montgomery County residents want a bridge crossing. That's a pretty high priority. And I think those of us who do have to cross a bridge on a daily basis realize the American Legion Bridge as the one crossing with none outside the Beltway where the bulk of our region's population live is just not going to work long term.
Stuart, you wanted to comment?
I'm glad Bob mentioned the poll, because it's a poll that his group, the 2030 group, did in conjunction with two other groups, the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance and Suburban Maryland Transportation Alliance. I'm not as harsh on it as one reporter was who called it a push poll, but what I do think is it didn't provide the information an elected official or any decision maker would need, because it didn't include what these projects would cost, what the trade-offs would be, how land use plays a factor in this, the fact that if you build new roads, they fill up very quickly, all those types of factors you would ask in a poll to make a decision on. In this case, it was a very American response was, traffic's bad, please do something, we want everything, and without any reference to cost. And we're all frustrated with the traffic, but we have limited resources. And I think that's a core issue here as well. This country has overspent on expansion of infrastructure and not spent enough on maintenance, something the New York Times covered well this weekend.
Roger Berliner, thanks very much for your call. We've got a lot more calls coming in and comments coming in through email. I'm going to just read a couple of those right now. Christina commented on our Facebook page, I find it very upsetting that this short-sighted solution to traffic woes is being revisited. Resources should be focused on fixing current roads and bridges, finishing the Silver Line to Dulles, building the Purple Line, expanding and making bus service efficient, and curbing development that the area lacks for fundamental infrastructure. Another comment here that says, better to focus on public transportation. If NOVA wants to be future ready, big roads or bridges are out and public transportation is in. I will keep getting to more of those because there's a lot coming in. But first, a little more nuanced detail question. So supporters of the new bridge say it would improve regional mobility, but a recent traffic study by the Virginia Department of Transportation cast some doubt on that idea. It found that only a small fraction of cars crossing the Potomac on the American Legion Bridge during rush hour originated in western Loudoun and Fairfax counties. Are you convinced that the new bridge would ease our region's notoriously bad gridlock as a supporter, Bob?
Yes, I am. There was a study done by transportation experts in, I believe, 2014 that showed a remarkable number of trips that would use the new facility by 2030. And even if you take all the improvements projected by the constrained long-range transportation plan, our transportation is something 30 to 40% worse by the year 2030. I think, and I commend the TPP for thinking top-down. We need some game changers to consider. We need to step back and see that we can't incrementally wish our problems away.
Jen, that 2014-2015 study by VDOT, which the Governor McCall's administration did largely at the behest of Bob and others, actually did show that there were very small percentage trips at making that so-called big U-shaped commute from a Loudoun or a Western Fairfax all the way around to a Rockville, Gaithersburg area, and that the vast majority of trips were trying to get to places on or near the Beltway or inside the Beltway or moving in and out. And that's what we've got to focus on. I mean, a lot of the push for this has been coming from Loudoun County, yet Loudoun County faces its strongest need to help their commuters on their east-west movement, not to try to add tens of thousands of cars hitting Route 7 and Route 28.
Well, Stuart, I want to follow up with you because an earlier study looking at route options was halted by the same person who initiated it, former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf. Why did he stop that study?
The outcry was huge on both sides of the river. The Federal Highway Administration was working very hard to identify routes that could possibly be done. They looked at the Fairfax County Parkway. They looked at Route 28 in Virginia. They looked at farther out near, Riverside and Lansdowne area. And in all cases, you're hitting the Ag Reserve. You're hitting neighborhoods from Great Falls out to Leesburg or on the other side in Darnestown, Potomac, Poolsville. And Congressman Wolf said, it can't be built. There's a reason why it hasn't been built. It can't be built. I am not going to go against my constituents like this.
Bob.
I think the quicker we stop being so politicized over this and we step back and entertain a study and get all of us involved, not have the rhetoric go back and forth that just continues to heat up. The fact of the matter is we are, as a region, not the prosperous, sustainable government's going to fund us economic power we have been. Steve Fuller's done a good report talking about the out-migration, and one of the issues is the lack of transportation system and the cost of living here.
And that's exactly why we should be investing in Metro. That's where the companies are going. That's where the people are going. It's something we've already built. Again, the federal government doesn't have all these extra resources either, but we know we have to maintain what we've already built because we don't intend to abandon it, like Metro.
Well, Stuart, you had brought up the agricultural reserve, and we've had a lot of listeners mentioning the potential environmental impact. We got one comment from Amanda on our website who says, no bridge through the ag reserve. It's not worth losing and damaging acres of pristine farmland in a world that seems to be bent on paving paradise, all for human convenience and monetary gain. I'm more than happy for my commute to take longer and to be inconvenienced if it means that small piece of land is being preserved for future generations and every day contributes to the health of our ever-endangered world.
Well, Montgomery County received national recognition for many decades now for their agricultural reserve, 90,000 acres. It provides local food, parks, recreation. I think it's an economic asset to the county and attracting professionals and their companies to have that nearby resource. I've talked to bikers who will no longer try to bike in Loudoun because it's too dangerous, and they bike in the Ag Reserve. And I think we shouldn't forget one really important thing is our drinking water supply. That's protecting our drinking water supply in an aquifer and as it feeds into the Potomac. And our water intakes would all be downstream of this bridge. That, to us, is the most important thing for us to protect for our future.
Bob.
Well, you have some examples of roads that have and corridors that have been built that haven't damaged our quality of life or our environment. And ICC is one, and the George Washington Parkway is another. I'd also like to remind everybody that Metro walking and biking constitute less than 20% of all trips daily. So just saying we need to spend all our money on Metro isn't going to solve our problem. It has to be balanced. And 2030 has taken the lead along with Federal City Council and the Board of Trade in getting a coalition for Metro reform. That's absolutely paramount to our success, but it has to be a balance.
Let's take a call from Kelly in Loudoun County. Kelly, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to say I'm 100% with Mr. Schwartz. I've lived in Loudoun County a long time, and I've watched development march out. And periodically, the developers in the trucking industry bring up this bridge business. The commute is not north-south. The commute is east-west, and yet we have no transit out Route 50. We have no transit out Route 66, and the development marches out. The other speaker brought up the ICC. You can see what the ICC has done. It's done nothing but spread development out along it. This is not a bridge that people want. This is a bridge that developers want, and I think we need other solutions. Young people want to be in the city. They don't want to have a 45-minute to an hour-and-a-half commute. And I think this bridge is just a bad idea. It's like a vampire thing that will not die.
Kelly, thanks very much for your call. I'm going to let you both comment. Bob, you can go first.
Well, it's an easy rap to blame everything on a developer road. But as a little boy, I can remember the same arguments when the Beltway was being discussed and where would we be without a Beltway. I don't think I'm all for a balance between economic development and quality of life. And right now I see threats to both unless we really address our transportation gridlock.
You know, I'd rather us not be Houston. They're ahead of us. They're on their third beltway at this point, and I think we have protected our quality of life much more effectively. It's shown by the Montgomery County Ag Reserve, the rural west of Loudoun, our vibrant parks, including the CNO Canal and the Potomac, and we have attracted the best and brightest to this region because of this investment in both urbanism and conservation, and I think we need to continue that in that direction.
Let's take one more call from Loudoun County. William, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a question for Bob. Bob, this new bridge doesn't seem like a regional solution to me. You know, the studies say only roughly 20,000 cars would be taken off the American Legion Bridge, which carries it to over 250,000 cars a day. Seems like a drop in the bucket. It seems like only the developers are going to benefit from this locally. Do you feel that's true?
Well, the studies I have seen show that 80,000 cars a day will be using a northern crossing, and I think it alleviates some of the stress on the American Legion Bridge. The American Legion Bridge needs to be widened. There's no doubt about it. But I think both the widening and a new crossing are going to be important if we're going to say to other regions competing with us, we're being proactive in addressing our challenges. And our broken transportation system is definitely a challenge.
I think the American Legion, we need to look at transit, HOV, and possibly the HOT lane options for that bridge. The reason you might see more of those trips that you see at the outer bridge is because, in part, because of new development, because of this problem of induced demand. And I really recommend people look up the problem of induced travel or induced demand when you have new road capacity.
This project comes at a time when other regional transportation projects are in desperate need of funds, most notably the Metro. What does Metro's budget shortfall mean for the feasibility of the bridge? Bob.
I think the bridge will have to be a toll bridge. I think the federal government will also be a contributor because they need to get their employees to where they need to be in times of crisis. And our congestion just doesn't lend itself to that mobility for the federal worker.
Stuart.
Well, at least until recently, the federal government's remained committed to downtown and to Metro station locations, and I hope that will continue. If we have a limited ask of the federal government, I certainly don't want to ask for $3 billion for this project. Metro's shortfall is $6.2 billion in capital to reconstitute the system. I think we're already doing a better job than New York in reconstituting our system if you've seen their challenges.
They've been having some lately, yeah.
Let's fix what we've got. And I don't want to leave another jurisdiction out of this, and that's Prince George's or the east side of D.C., southeast Fairfax. We have lots of capacity for growth in those places at metro stations and in commercial corridors, but this bridge would cement an east-west economic divide where we need more balanced growth in the region, which would also balance out the Beltway.
Well, we have another pile of tweets that have come in the time that we've been talking. There's a lot of different concerns expressed here. What transportation projects and neglected maintenance get bumped? We kind of addressed that with this last question about Metro. We did get one pro-bridge tweet because we don't want to just beat up on Bob here. Peter said, having just one real crossing of such a major path for the Northeast is a risk. For pure redundancy sake, we should have a second option. We also have about a dozen more tweets and calls that unfortunately we're not going to have time to get to today. But I'd like to thank both of our guests for coming in. Stuart Schwartz is the executive director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. Thanks for joining us. And Bob Buchanan, Lees Buchanan Partners, a real estate development firm. And he also chairs the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation and is president of the 2030 Group. Bob, it was good to have you.
Thank you.
And that's it for the show today, but we'd like to keep today's conversations going. If you'd like to share your memories of Jim Vance or thoughts about what you feel he meant to the D.C. region, you can leave them at our Facebook page or tweet them to @KojoShow. A reminder that you can come see the show in person tomorrow night. The next edition of Kojo in Your Community is taking place then at George Mason University's Arlington campus. It's going to be a conversation about guns, violence, and the law, and it's free and open to the public. Doors open at 6, and the event begins at 6:30. You can find all the information at our website, kojoshow.org. Don't forget to meet us back on the air tomorrow at noon. We'll explore why a community debate erupted in the Columbia Heights about who has the rights to use recreational facilities and who our parks, fields, and rec centers exist for. That's from noon till 1 tomorrow. Until then, I'm Jen Golbeck, and I've been sitting in for Kojo Namdi today. Thanks so much for listening.
Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schrobsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, and Patrick Fort. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Cliff Gallagher has been on the phones. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.